Hey, everybody, what's going on? And welcome to another episode of Voices from the Grid. I'm your host for this episode, Blue Ranger Brian, and joining me is...
I am the Black Ranger. It's your boy, Ben Taylor. I am, in fact, the thinking person's comedian, assuming, of course, that person is thinking, I hope he stops staring at me. He's kind of creepy.
Oh, man. I wish I had a decent follow-up for that, but I am so tired.
Yeah, man. It's been a long week for me, too.
It's been insane. So, Ben, today we're going to be talking about a two-parter. Very early on in the season, we're going to be talking about the Heat Master, AKA
Hate Master Kim is my favorite Kim. I'm sorry,
but I can.
She's just kind of hilarious in this episode.
I do love her attitude in this episode. So I do have a. I don't have. So obviously Mike's not hosting, and I'm not copying him by doing the whole like let's go into the synopsis. But I do have the briefest of synopses, and it's not like detail written, but I just for anybody coming in that might not have seen the episode.
So my worry is that in like two episodes from now, when Mike gets back to hosting, he's going to try and do that intro again, and I'm just going to have to cut him off.
You're just going to have to squash it.
Yeah, he missed the meeting. He went on vacation. Yeah. It's his fault, right?
You're going to have to get into the Frog Megazord and just squash it with the frog foot.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Just squash it. No, we're not.
From a great distance.
What are you doing here? It's season three. For anybody who didn't watch the episode but also wants to listen in, just giving you the briefest of facts from Ranger Wiki, which is probably my favorite resource when I'm writing my notes for these episodes. Lord Zedd and Rita Repulsa create the evil Hate Master. The Hate Master is sent to spread hate everywhere. Meanwhile, the kids are attacked by Tangas, and the Hate Master places the Rangers under his spell. Aisha is the only one who remains unaffected due to the heart-shaped necklace given to her by grandmother. And has to find a way to break the spell before things get worse. And that's all I'm going to say. And then let's just go ahead and get into it.
So if you've listened to previous seasons, you've heard me talk about how there's a very set formula for Power Rangers episodes, right? How, like, establish the moral story. Zedd turns the moral story against the Rangers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the big moral of this episode is tolerance and acceptance, right? Because Kimberly and Aisha tried to join this group at the high school called the Angel Girls, which to me just sounds like a really bad internet site from the mid-90s.
Right. Yeah, it also sounds like a really bad ripoff of Sailor Moon, kind of. Like, we're the Angel Girls.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, Aisha can't get in because her family's not rich or whatever. I don't know, man.
I have thoughts about that. Like, man, when I was watching this episode and like I was getting ready to write my notes, like I was like, oh, I'm just gonna write some simple notes. And like by the time that I realized what was happening to Aisha, I was like writing full on paragraphs, like, okay, well, I was like, I don't know. I think everybody has been put in that situation before where like they're unjustly being kept away from something because they don't meet a certain requirement that like they didn't even realize was on board in the first place.
Yeah.
And like that makes me so angry. And like I was legitimately angry for Aisha in this episode. Like not even just like, oh my, you know, like, oh, for the episode. I mean, like I was about to like write an email. Like, why didn't anybody tell me? Because I don't know. When you're a kid and you're watching this episode, it's like, oh, that kind of sucks. But as an adult, you're just like, wow, this kind of hits a little close to home.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
for real.
Yeah. It's not something that I really not even that I appreciated, because that's the wrong word, but like as a kid, I just didn't understand that kind of like, that kind of like, oh, well, you're not good enough for us thing. And it's like, well, I'm 34, so I totally understand that now. There is other stuff that happens in this episode, though.
Yeah, there's like a minor subplot about some graffiti, right?
Yeah, and because the boys have to have something to do in this episode, so they're helping. We literally see them scrubbing graffiti, and Bulk's like spying on them, just like, you see them? They're cleaning up this graffiti? Who is it? Who's the graffiti man? And I do have a question for you about like,
okay.
When you were writing this episode, before we realized who it was in season two, did you have any suspicions about who it might have been? Who might have been the graffiti
man? I have to be honest with you. When, like, this isn't the first time I've watched these episodes, right? Admittedly, okay. Most of Mighty Morphin was on in the background while I was doing other things. But Skull being the graffiti artist had stuck in my head for some reason. So the moment I was like, oh, it's Skull doing his sleep graffitiing again.
what a insane skill to have, and like you don't even know that you have it.
That's never brought up again in all of time.
Look how crisp this outline is. I was sleeping during it. Like,
yeah.
I wish I had that kind of talent. So Kim obviously is trying to console Aisha, and Aisha goes to her.
So I do want to say something about Bulk and Skull quite quickly.
Oh, yeah, sure.
There's a scene. Like, as you say, Bulk is spying on the boys cleaning the graffiti. But
yeah.
Skull is in the youth center, hiding under the table.
And I can't believe I missed this. Oh, my God.
Kimberly and the other girl from the Angel Girls are having, like, an argument and stamping their feet a lot. And they're stamping on, like, Skull's hands, right? And I don't very often laugh at Bulk and Skull slapstick comedy, right? I don't find that entertaining. But there's a moment where they both walk off and Skull pulls back under the table and he lets out this yell that just made me lose it. Like, Jason Narvi does a very good pained yell. It was brilliant.
It was,
I popped. So
I know. And it was nice. And they made it look so believable too. Like, I was literally just like, oh God, his fingies. Oh, like it, I did. I felt bad, but I was laughing so hard at that. Also, can we real fast, just for a second, appreciate the Get Smart shoe?
Yeah. Yeah.
I love the Get Smart shoe. That was amazing. I was like, I don't know how many kids would have gotten that in the 90s, because I probably didn't. But like, now that I think about it, my mom probably saw that. I was like, is that the Get Smart shoe? The antenna and everything?
Yeah.
It was a nice touch. I liked it. It's a fantastic touch. So then we cut back to the major plot, and Aisha's asking her grandma for, you know, some kind of moral support, or just needs to talk. And her grandma gives her this necklace that was handed down through generations, and it's supposed to, you know,
but clearly not to Aisha's mom.
Yeah, right. It's like, I've been holding on to this. It's passed down for generations. It's also in a box. Cool. So why isn't
if it's been passed down through the generations, why doesn't my mother have it?
That's a really great question, because that's typically how that works.
Yeah.
That's not how inheritance works.
It's not how inheritance works. Yep.
It's probably the only instance we'll ever have of that. We have this really, really kind of sweet moment where she's just like reassuring Aisha. It's like, hey, look, you know, we're going to be with you. And like, this is a representation of our family's love. And, you know, you can overcome anything. And it's a really sweet moment.
Yeah. Absolutely.
She also says, love conquers all. Meanwhile, Zed's kind of in the background, been looking at all this going, oh, yes, because Aisha says something about hate. And, you know, Zed, he's just got an ear to everything. And he's like, oh, I heard a word I like. Let's make that the monster of the week. And
yeah.
And Finster's just like, hey, I've got these seeds from like every monster that I've created since season one that I'm just now bringing up to y'all. Happy anniversary. And the way that they have to work is that the seeds have to be thrown down to Earth because I guess they can't cultivate on the moon, even though supposedly there's oxygen on the moon that they can breathe. I don't know. Logic in Power Rangers is not something you're going to find, but they send down these seeds, they cultivate for a second, and then Babu and Squat go pick them up, and we get our monster, which is the Hate Master, and he's like, he's like, oh god, he's like the pumpkin wrapper, but like worse.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't even have any, like, I don't know, what are your thoughts on this monster?
My note of the week is, of course they had to make this monster rap. He couldn't possibly be more annoying.
Which is weird because, and I can't put my finger on it, but there's something about him that looks like Purple Rain Prince.
Yeah.
He's, I was like, are they going for, okay.
So my actual thoughts on the monster, the actual monster itself is no big deal to me. Nah. But the concept of like turning the Rangers against each other is interesting. I have this running joke at this point where it's like, oh, this must be like the 754th billion episode we've had with like evil Rangers in it, or like the Rangers going evil or turning against each other or not liking each other or blah, 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 blah. Because it's a plot that comes up often, but this is probably the place it's executed best.
I would agree with that. I was actually just, before we started recording, I was actually just thinking about it because I did an episode in season two in which, can't believe I'm about to say these words. Tommy and him. Okay. So, when you mention that, it reminds me of back in season two when I was doing an episode where Tommy and Kim get enchanted by a magical jump rope because they trip over it. And Billy says something, his response to all that is like, they're in the command center and Tommy and Kim just keep on arguing. And Billy's just like, would you two shut up? Zordon, can you run a scan on them? Are they enchanted? And I just love how jaded Billy is by season two, that at this point in season three, it's kind of like, you know, Aisha's probably just like, yeah, this is normal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, this is kind of an everyday occurrence for them, right?
Yeah. It's like, okay, yeah. Now we deal with space wizards all the time, and yeah, this is par for the course. No worries.
Yeah. So Hate Master, it has to produce hate dust, right?
Yeah.
Which he does by gathering stuff, something that the people he wants to affect has touched. Right?
That sounds about right, yeah.
And in order to make that happen, Zed sends down the Tengas so that the Rangers have to have a fight and he can take the ground they touched and give it to the Hate Master and he can turn it into the hate dust.
Yeah.
There's only a small problem with this, right?
And what would that be?
They don't actually touch the dirt. Their shoes and their gloves touch the dirt.
Yeah. Because
they morph into the Ninja Rangers. Right? And this is just me. They're not touching the dirt. Like, you can't get DNA from a footprint, right?
No.
Like, that's not how science works.
Thank you. It's, I guess, because their whole thing is that there's a touch from, like, Those gloves have got to be so thick. I'm like, there's no way that you're getting anything off of those. Because there just wasn't. But that's the kind of logic that you just kind of have to like shoo out the door. And it's like, okay, no, okay. We're not going to focus on that too much, I guess. But it still does not make any sense. But hey, you know, it progresses the story forward. And we
here, as I always do whenever I get the opportunity to do it, that the Ninja Rangers are the best thing on the Rangers side in all of Mighty Morphin. I love the Ninja Rangers.
Yeah. I do love the suits. The music's great and the fight scenes are really good too. And I do love how all that, because of the nature of it, it's all American. And so they get to just do whatever they want to and not rely on Sentai footage. And I know that's coming from me, but.
Like the suits. Okay, whatever. It'd be nice if we could see them when they were in them. But the fight scenes is specifically what I'm talking about. They're really fun fight scenes.
Really, oh, yeah. Fun. I would almost say it's kind of like the super flippy, super indie of Mighty Morphin.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. So, chugging along, and we've got, let's see here. Oh, yeah. There's this, so Tommy saves Kim mid-fight, and they do this double ninja laser power move where, like, they both take their finger guns and kind of attach them.
Yeah, because the ninja rangers can summon laser beams. It's happened in several episodes at this point.
Yeah. Science. Also, I guess there's just not a Japanese weapon that they can, like, attach because, again, it's American suit. So, hey, let's just make our own finger gun thing. That works.
Yeah,
that's gotta have been the logic there. So Squad collects the seed. Hate Master literally spreads the evil with the hate dust. The Rangers then turn evil. They're picking fights with each other. Aisha gets contact.
There's a moment where Alpha's in the command zone. He's like, "Oh no, I'm reading elevated levels of hate dust in the air." Like it's something he scans for every day.
They are very close to Los Angeles. All right, let's run a smog check. And also, yeah. how much smog is in the air? Yeah. It is in the air. The Rangers turn on each other after all that happens. And then Aisha shows up and the spell dissipates, which. You put two and two together, it's like, oh, well, there's got to be something going on with Aisha.
But it is never explicitly said that that's what happens.
No, it's very much implied.
Yeah.
We get this moment where the Rangers morph also, and they call
fun, them... It's also fun to point out that we need to point out these Rangers hate each other, but yet they're always together.
Yeah. And I explicitly remember there's a scene, and I don't know if it's in this episode or the next one, but like they hate each other, but they're hanging out at the youth center.
Yeah.
And then they leave.
Yeah.
They hang out with each other long enough to be like, I hate you. And then they go away. But not really.
And there's also a moment where like they're like, we're going to go tell Zordon what we think of it. And rather than teleport into the command center, they walk. Which is really important because of the next episode.
Yeah. I mean, hate can drive you to do very cruel and sometimes stupid things. Like, I'm going to walk. I mean, yeah. At this point, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
How patient does Zordon have to be with the Rangers? Like, because Tommy's sitting there yelling at him, and it's like, Zordon's just got to be like, okay, this is like the fifth time this year that we've had this conversation. You know,
he's a big Zordon has the he's a big giant head that's floated in that tube for at least hundreds of years. He's got to have some level of patience to him, right?
Yeah. I mean, you have to learn some patience in order to stay in that tube as long as you do. I mean, like, I hope that he has something to do when the world's not being destroyed. But, yeah, it's... Oh, God, okay. Let's see here. Oh, yeah. So, during this episode, Adam and Rocky seem to get in a bit of a spat. Who's your money on, and why is it Adam?
Because Adam.
Yeah.
like, in the next episode, Tommy and Adam are about to fight, and my money's still on Adam. Right? Yeah. Like...
I remember seeing that and just going like, ooh, Ben's going to love this. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Like if they actually throw blow, oh my God. Like, kind of like how, was it Blake Foster and the kid Red Ranger from this season, like actually went into an MMA pit. It's like just imagining that, but like Adam and Tommy, it's like, ooh, that'd be fun. That'd be fun to watch. I'd buy that pay-per-view.
I would buy that pay-per-view.
Yeah. Get him, Johnny Young. I don't know this. This episode. Oh yeah. So Aisha kind of dissipates the whole like hate spell.
Yeah.
For a little bit, because Zed's just been like, oh well, I only gave them like one dose, but what happens if I give them an entire dose? And all of this happens while they're morphing, and they summon the Zords, and like they're bringing the Zords together. And they're so close to like bringing the Zords together and just like destroying the monster of the week, because it'd be so easy just to do that. Because I don't really think the Hate Master has much fighting prowess. He has spells out the wazoo, but like, but he doesn't really have much of a fighting prowess. So they literally stop him. See, they stop the Rangers where they can, where it's like, hey, let's spread some more. And like, they're this close to combining the Zords, and then all of a sudden the footage reverses and it's like, nope, not doing that. We're not. I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah. And then we have this whole sequence with Zordon and Alpha where they're like, we must find out why Aisha wasn't affected. And I'm like, oh, let me count the ways. Let's start with the fact that she didn't touch the dirt that they were fighting on.
Yeah. She didn't do that. She wasn't there when all this happened. Also, does anything seem different about her?
Yeah. Maybe that giant gold thing around her neck.
Yeah. Was she wearing that last time? I can't remember. Was she? Okay. That's nothing. Maybe she just went to the mall.
yeah.
So this episode kind of just ends on a cliffhanger, and we're just like, oh no, what will become of the Power Rangers?
Even though there's like with most of the rest of the season left.
Right.
Yeah.
And so then we did you have any more thoughts on episode one before we get into episode two?
No. Let's move on to episode two.
Sounds good. Okay, so Stop the Hate Master part two. I do have a fun fact from Ranger Wiki here.
Okay.
Regarding Titanus. Titanus's appearance is not explained while it was dormant, since the Dinozords were dumped in favor of the Thunderzords.
Yeah.
Whoever wrote this does not know how to English, but this is because Final Face-Off, which has Alpha Awakening Titanus.
Yeah, which is the next episode after this one.
Yeah, so fun fact, in France, Stop the Hate Master aired after Final Face-Off.
Hmm.
So...
But everywhere else in the world,
yeah,
the Stop the Hate Master aired first, which is, yeah, not on, and from everything that I've read, not, it wasn't a production error, like, they were supposed to air in the order of Final Phase Off and then Stop the Hate Master, but the TV company just aired them differently.
Wasn't that always fun how that would happen back in the day, kids?
Yeah.
I mean, I remember that as a really brief aside, I remember that happening with the 90s Spider-Man all the time. And I'm just going like, wait a minute, this makes no sense. What? Like, how was Eddie Brock already Venom? Anyways, not a big deal.
So we come back to the revelation that it is her necklace that is protecting Aisha, right?
Yeah.
And I say, A, no, it isn't. Because A, she wasn't there when the spell was cast. And B, she never touched the dirt they used to make the dust.
Yeah.
It might be Aisha's necklace that broke the spell on the Rangers, which is a fair assessment. But it's not the reason she's protected.
Yeah. It's I interpreted that as, oh yeah, it's, you know, her it's kind of like in an episode I'm going to be doing with Sasha about the lantern with Adam, and it's like there's a line in there about whatever you put into the meaning of that lantern is what you get out of it, and I feel like that's kind of the same here with this necklace. And it's also, you know, her grandma's like reassured her. It's like, you know, hey, look, we've poured a lot of love into our family, and it's represented in this necklace. And, you know, we'll always be with you. And so,
and that's fine, right? But don't say that's why she wasn't affected, because it clearly isn't why she wasn't affected. It might be why the Rangers woke up for a bit,
right?
And then they have this really nice moment where Billy's just like, screw Zordon, I'm going to remotely turn off the power in the command center.
Yeah. All of a sudden, like, we're getting shades of, like, you know, Dream with Evil, where, like, the command center is shut down. And it's like, what's happening? And, like, I was genuinely, like, surprised my first watch through again. It's like, Billy, like, not even like, oh, but like, just like, oh, Billy, that's not cool, dude. Not cool. Like, Zordon's gone now, and like, Alpha's freaking out, and like, oh man, you know how Alpha is when he starts freaking out. Like, it's not cool. Let's see here. So, this whole thing, it's funny because it feels like at this point, the whole Angel Girls thing has just kind of been put on the back burner.
Yeah.
It does come up later on in the episode, just as kind of a like way to wrap up the episode. But like, if you thought that was going to be like the major A plot, or even like really get it to the B plot in episode two, no, it's not. It's not even really brought up. I do remember Bulk and Skull were still kind of looking for, their whole thing in this episode is they're still looking for the spray paint bandit.
Yeah, they're looking for the graffiti bandit.
Yeah. And also, Rita wants to go on her honeymoon as well. And she's seeing a perfect opportunity to do that. I believe that's become like the C plot.
I guess. Yeah. The anniversary and the wannabe honeymoon. And
yeah. Because Goldar supposedly ruined it when like they were on Serpentera back in the day.
Yeah.
So let's see here. Oh yeah, there's a bunch of really great scenes in this episode. One of my favorite, and I just want to go ahead and get to this real fast. Bulk and Skull go undercover as French waitabs.
Yes. Yes, they do.
And is it just me, or was Bulk doing the bit from Meaning of Life where John Cleese is like, would you like a mint? It's way fluffing.
Oh, waffing.
Like,
yeah, I think you might have been.
The bit with the pie and coffee is just fantastic. Like, I know that Bulk and Skull slapstick can meter differently depending on what episode you're watching, but I think this was probably some of their best work. And there's a lot of bloopers in this episode as well of them doing the slapstick, and it's fantastic. I really love the Bulk and Skull scenes in this episode.
I wasn't as much of a fan of this one as I was of the yell from Skull in episode one.
But, yeah.
And again, remember, I'm coming to this for the first time as a 40-plus-year-old dude. So slapstick isn't really my cup of tea anymore, but they do execute it very well. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And then, like, Aisha's all like, oh, all of the Rangers are a threat to us now. And I'm like, what's Rocky going to do? Punch the command center to death?
He's going to go play a video game for hours on end?
Yeah, go have some fun.
Rocky just wants to have fun. So come on, guys. Get off Rocky's case.
And then, like, Zed's all like, oh, we're going to spread hate over the rest of Angel Grove. I'm like, how? Then you need the dust to make the Rangers hate each other. How are you going to affect other people when you don't have stuff they've... Oh, you, what's that? You don't have any internal consistency to your own story? Yeah, that's normal.
Why? Okay, I could try and fix that just off the seat of my pants here. If Zed's turning the Rangers evil, but they still have the ability to morph, why doesn't he just also put the idea in their head that, hey, the people of Earth are the bad guys, go into the Zord and destroy Angel Grove and then go from city to city?
Right, but what I'm saying is he's going to use the Hate Master to turn everyone on Earth hateful, right?
Yeah.
But in order to make the Rangers hateful, he needed a sample of something they've touched, right? So how does that work with the rest of the planet?
This plan is very labor intensive and not worth it. It's not worth it then at that point. If that's what you have to do, it's like, that doesn't make much sense.
He hits Balkan Skull with the hate dust, right?
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, Skull turns into Robert De Niro.
He was doing his best taxi driver there.
Yeah.
I did have a note here as well about Balkan Skull. And I said Balkan Skull in the waiter scene, they're posing as waiters that also look like Edgar Allan Poe and Gerard Way from MCR, which isn't an anachronism, sure, but man. Volka's got that MCR hair before it was even a thing down pat. Yeah. And so, yeah, they're hating each other all of a sudden. And let's see here. I'm just going through this question chronologically. For you. Yes, what's up? For you.
Why is Aisha acting like she's trapped in the command center when they've walked to the command center before?
I don't have an answer for that. I mean, if I remember correctly, the power's still out at that point, but it's like, no, really.
The power's
like,
out at that point, because the reason he thinks she's stuck is she can't teleport out.
Right, and then she gives the necklace to Alpha in order to power up a one-way teleport.
Like a beam thing, and they use Alpha's power reserves to beam her out, and then she gives him the necklace so that he can make like a love beam or something.
Get on board the love beam, baby.
Love shack. I don't know. And then she gets in the middle of all of the Rangers. She's giving them this big speech like, blah, 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 you're friends, blah, 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 love conquers all, blah, 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 blah. And then they just break the spell, which is kind of naff, if you ask me.
It was very underwhelming when the spell was broken. And it was before that point that Adam and Tommy were about to fight.
Yeah, and, Adam's like, you know I should be in charge. And I'm like, yes, you should.
I wonder what Ben's thoughts are on that one. When I was watching that, I was like, gee, I wonder what Ben thinks of this.
Well,
It's the one Ranger he loves and the one Ranger he hates. Which side will he pick? Let's see here. So Aisha gives Alpha the necklace. Hold on, I'm past all that. I gotta start highlighting my stuff better. So some of the Tengas, oh my god, I'm sorry, my phone is like old, scrolling ahead of me. So Aisha has already given Alpha the necklace because it's gonna block the spell on the Rangers. Yep. And then she goes to fight the Tengas 1-on-6, I believe.
She's fighting them because the Hate Master wants to get dust to turn her against the others, but it doesn't work because love conquers all or something. And then the she goes and sees the other Rangers and is like,
oh, I'm so glad.
Get out, get over yourselves. And they were like, okay, we're good again. And then they, like, the instant that they're good again, Rita and Zed are like, ah, monster, be big. And they're like, ah, we have swords.
Yeah.
And that's by all, that point, that's all in the space of about a minute, by the way.
which is probably why my notes are so confused, because I'm like, I'm literally trying to remember events that happened like very rapid fire. Because I literally had a note here about Aisha fighting the Hate Master, and like they're trying to collect the dust with a vacuum, and like they have a little dustpan that they're trying to get the stuff into, and
it's like a little dustbuster. Like,
oh, we can use this. We'll have to figure out all the dog hair and stuff, but we'll be fine. Still good.
Monkey hair from Goldar. And honestly, right? Just being honest with you, that's pretty much the end of the episode. It's like they get in the Zords, they execute the monster, and it's pretty much the end of the episode.
Yeah. Right?
The one thing I do want to note, is outside of the Alien Rangers battle Borgs, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm fairly sure that the Ninja Zords are the Zords we see fighting separately the most.
Yes.
Like, so most of the time, it's just like, summon the Zords, make the Megazord, have a fight. But the Ninja Zords are often using their own powers and abilities, which I think is really cool.
I actually did have a little note here about how the Zords did get to shine. And I wanted your thought on this, because Adam obviously has the Frog Zord, and he does this thing where he presses a button. All of a sudden there's baby Frog Zords.
Yeah.
And oh, I think they're bombs or something. And they stick they themselves are. To the Hate Master.
They stick themselves and I was like, electrocute him. Yeah.
Oh my God, I was like, that is the coolest idea. Like, that's the best Zord idea in all three seasons of Mighty Morphin.
Yeah.
And I love the Dragon Zord as much as I do, but like, I can't compete with like
baby frogs.
Baby frogs. That, you know, oh my God, that was such a great idea.
It was fantastic.
And obviously, yes, you know, Hate Master go boom because ninjas make his words there. And then we find out Bulk and Skull at the very end, when we're wrapping this all up, Bulk and Skull have found the culprit, and it happens to be Skull because he's sleepwalking.
Yeah.
And we did kind of bury that lead earlier on in the episode, but like, I did feel kind of bad for Skull because this really wasn't his fault. I mean, sure, he has to clean it up, but like, you can't really help a dude that's sleepwalking, can you?
Yeah. And then we also get in my note that just says moral nonsense to end the episode, you get like Aisha gets to join the Angel Girls because all the other girls except the leader one decide that she should be in because the income requirement is bad.
Yeah. And apparently also they did a internal investigation and they found out that I think her name was Monica.
Yeah.
Well, or Melissa. Something with an M, doesn't matter. But like, she was basically like making that requirement, and they were like, "Hey, since when were we doing that in the first place? You got to go." So it was less the club itself and more just one girl who thought, you know, well, I'm going to clean up things around here. It's like, that's okay. Well, that's fantastic.
But yeah, Stop the Hate Master was an interesting two-parter. It had an interesting concept. Bits of it weren't executed very well, like the monster especially. I could have done without the wrapping.
Oh God, I'm so done with wrapping monsters. I just...
Yeah.
This was the 90s, kids. This was the 90s.
Yeah. But yeah, just... I don't know. I've been saying this quite a bit this season, is we were very critical of seasons one and two of there not being a whole lot of planning and forethought in the seasons.
Mm-hmm.
But season three, there very much is that kind of planning and forethought. And it's almost written like it's being written by a different set of writers. Nothing specifically here that sets up anything in the future. But this two-parter is just a very well-told two-parter.
I will absolutely agree with that. Season three definitely feels way more cohesive. And I've only watched so many episodes because I'm still in the midst of, you know, my whole watch through season three. But yeah, so far from what I've seen, it is so much more cohesive in season two by a mile. It doesn't even like, it doesn't even register. It's like, wow, okay, cool. So I am looking forward to more of season three and talking more about season three, which I think we'll be doing here soon enough. But if you have no more notes on the episode, we can go ahead and start wrapping this up.
Yeah, let's go ahead and call this episode to an end.
All right, fantastic. So Ben, where can we find you on social media, sir?
You can find me on Twitter at Bob T Goldfish. You can find me on Twitch doing the video game thing. At twitch.tv/321_TV, where I play video games with my friend Jordan and my wife. Jordan, also, for those of you that have been listening to the season, has been doubling as our narrator for our scripted intros. Every other Sunday, we run a D&D campaign. I'm pretty sure that might be over by the time this episode comes out. Who knows? You can find this show on Twitter at VFTG_PR. And if you go to thxthockey.com/VFTG, there's a bunch of links there to the other stuff we do, like Musings from the Grid and My Journey columns and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Brian?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, and otherwise, you can find me at castwavestudios.com. Feel free to check out our many podcasts that we've been doing over the years. You can also find me on Twitter at OneDrunkGeek. You can also find me on Instagram at Draken22. That's DRAKKEN22. And I did have the name before Lord Draken was a thing, just in case anybody asks. And just in case. I even spell it differently. So, that's pretty much it.
So that's all I've got. This out?
Absolutely. Take it away, sir.
So we've spent a little while here talking about Stop the Hate Master parts 1 and 2, but we will leave you as we always do by the words of the 16th president of the United States, Abraham Lincoln, by saying, guys, gals, and non-binary pals, be excellent to each other. And party on non-gender-specific honorifics.
And until next time, be sure to grab your power coins and your power morphers, and may the power protect you.
Peace.